This is an RNZ podcast.
Sometimes I regret about my past, a hard time. But now I'm like, learn from their things. Now things are getting better for me.
We grow up in a culture where mental health is not prioritized. It's that lack of awareness. You know, stigma is something that's, it really is a factor that hinders help seeking.
I think it's important to acknowledge the diversity within the Asian community. Very diverse in ethnicity, language, religion, traditions. And, you know, you've either come as a migrant, so economic migrant, or you may have come from the refugee journey as well.
Kia ora, this is Voices and I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. A trigger warning for this episode of Voices. It contains references to suicide, so we advise discretion. I'm meeting community members in Auckland who work in the mental health space with Asian communities today. That was Jennifer Janiff you just heard. She's a community development advocate. And Shirlene Prasad, mental health counsellor at Asian Family Services. She's Fiji-Indian and leads ASHA, the South Asian counselling team there.
I feel as a clinician, some of the gaps that I see in the work that I do is recognizing that the Asian community have different needs as compared to other ethnicities. There are some commonalities, but there are issues such as migration challenges that are more, I guess, more of a risk factor for Asians because most of us are migrants. And then there are issues such as intergenerational differences as well that we need to focus on. With migration challenges comes an array of other issues such as stress, you know, social isolation, not knowing how to cope and, you know, having an unhealthy way to cope with these things because no one really, you know, unpacks that to ask, oh, are you okay emotionally? So it's about raising awareness that there's a holistic concept of well-being that also encompasses mental health.
A report released by Asian Family Services last year has all the stats on stigma.
98.7% of Asians believe that the public holds negative stereotypes against people with mental illness. When we look at South Asians specifically, when we look at our Indian population, there's so much. Their role in the family has a lot to do with duty, obligation, honor. Everything that they do is linked to, you know, bringing honor to the family and their obligations. And when there is a time in their life when things are not going okay, when they're experiencing challenges, these are the things that stops them from seeking support because they feel they don't want to be perceived as weak. They want to be positive role models for their family. So if they disclose that they're not doing okay, then that's definitely, you know, not, I guess, not congruent to what they grow up believing that they should be. Sometimes we experience some subclinical but substantial symptoms of a mental health issue that is not clinically diagnosed, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't impact certain aspects of our life. And I think these are the people that fall through the cracks because they don't fit into a diagnostic criteria, but then that doesn't mean they're not impacted. Then where do they go?
Early in her life, Shirlene saw firsthand the impact of mental health.
When I was younger, I lost one of my cousins too. He was only 14 to suicide. But at that point, I didn't understand the importance of mental health and that how important it was to talk about it. And
how old were you when that
happened? I was 11 and my cousin was 14. Yeah. And when I was in my teens, one of my aunties also passed away through suicide. And that also, it got me thinking at that age, just how important it is for people to talk about it and how much in our culture that is not talked about, in fact. It's quite the opposite. And whenever someone even speaks about what they're experiencing, it's always, you know, kept in the family. It made me who I am today because we come from a collectivist culture. So something like that affects so many people. And I remember saying to myself, was it something that we could have done? That kind of realization and having that experience, it helps me to be a better clinician.
Working with the complexities of cultural differences in the wider South Asian group is a challenge and a gap that Shirlene's been focused on filling. Asha offers language helplines too in a bunch of South Asian languages.
One of the things that's so important is to have a linguistic and culturally responsive team that can understand the culture and the values that are so enmeshed in those negative emotions that are expressed when they're facing a challenge.
And that gives us an opportunity to engage them in further support. But there is, yeah, it's really to make them comfortable and tell them what counselling is about.
But over the years, Asha's become a port of call for people with gambling addiction out in the community.
In 2016, we saw an increasing trend in gambling harm amongst the South Asian community, amongst the South Asian population groups, and that's just increased through the years. And that was why I established Asha Services in 2017, because at that point in time, there wasn't any particular service that catered for the needs of the linguistic and cultural needs of our South Asian population group. At point in time, I was the only clinician available. I think for a year, I was the only one that was the Asha team. There are definitely challenges because we didn't have resources or funding to set it up. But of course, we had the numbers because we had the numbers from our own service that showed that a high number of South Asians were experiencing harm from gambling. But of course, it becomes a catch-22 thing because you have to show that there is a need to get funding. And in order to get funding, you need to, of course, operate. So the challenges were there, but I felt when I was in the, you know, in the background doing the project work for Asha Services, I really believed that this was something that was needed. Having a dream, and then but you keep working towards it.
I got to speak to someone who reached out to Asha when he was at a dead end with his gambling addiction and mental health. He naturally prefers to keep his identity anonymous, but I talked to him on the phone.
I came here for study and for work, and I was new, and I don't have any job, right? It was hard to find that job. Then I go in a Sky City with my friend, I win a little bit. And once a little bit, it's slowly I start going every day to make money from 2011 to 2016. I mean, I just started about $50-$60, but slowly I'm winning like $500. One night I win $7,000, and that give me a little bit bump to spend more. And then after that, I just start borrowing money from people, borrow money from my India, from my family, to win a big. That's why I'm just investing big money. And then I just messed up everything. I was struggling because of my visas, and I don't have money to play anything. I don't have any job. Oh, I know, it was addiction. It was bad addiction.
Isolated, jobless, with no money and no family here. He spent a few weeks in mental health care and years in despair, too afraid to talk to counsellors. It's that cultural stigma again. This year, he finally reached out to Asha, and he's been talking to Shirlene's colleague in both Hindi and English. It seems to have pretty much turned his life around.
That's really cool. You can talk in your language, and it helps you a lot. It's easy for, like, to us to communicate, you know. Really, like, it's our sport, and they, like, tell me each and everything, how gambling works on your brain, how you get addicted. You know, like, she was a really nice lady. She like teach me a lot about gambling, and now I know how it works. If you not talk with someone, I was like struggling a lot with yourself. Then I just try to like control myself, and I quit. And even I have trespass, I can't go there. And now I got my residency, I have job, and everything's fine right now.
Fiji-born Jennifer Janif again, who's been working as an advocate in the community.
You migrate, you put your roots down, you're so focused on economics development, like you've got to get employment, housing, all that sorted. But as you settle down, you see the issues that come to the forefront. When I reflect, you know, initially as a migrant, I've been here for almost 33 years, reflecting on my migration journey. When we came, there was very limited settlement support network. So I always feel, you know, the challenges I went through, you know, the learnings that I've learned, I can contribute back to the community to ensure that the next person doesn't have to go through that challenge in terms of settlement challenges, being able to navigate the New Zealand system. One thing we must acknowledge, there's a shift from not seeking support in this mental health and well-being space to now, and ASHA is an example of its existence, that support is being sought. So, you know, so a shift has happened in the community. I always say it's the intergenerational resilience that has been gifted to us by our forefathers that has enabled us to move on and start a new life. But on the other hand, we don't talk about, you know, the coups that we, we've survived, and the intergenerational violence, trauma of the indentured system. Mm. But yeah, I think it's important to also acknowledge that we do have strengths which enables us to work through issues.
We are slowly trying to change that mindset, and it is happening. It's just all this that we are doing needs to be more consistent, the awareness, raising awareness, all these going out in communities and talking about these things need to be consistent. And it's something that is important as our physical well-being, as our spiritual well-being, as our, you know, as religion to us, our mental health. And that is what drives us, you know, to keep on doing what we are doing.
Shirlene Prasad of Asian Family Services and Jennifer Janif, thanks so much. ASHA offers free help in many languages. You'll find their details on our website. This week's episode was mixed by Flo Wilson, and I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Thanks for listening. You can find more Voices episodes on all your favourite podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. And also give us a follow on our Instagram and Facebook pages. That's RNZ_voices.